Welcome to the teaching ministry of the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We know you'll be blessed as Pastor Jim Cobray ministers the Word of God.
Today, as you take your seat, get your Bible, go with me, if you will, into Hebrews 1st chapter. We're going back to verse number 9. We're going to be there a couple more weeks because it's one of those dynamic, phenomenal verses. This message is called Trusting in the Anointing. Now, I guess I could probably start off by saying, what do you trust in? Do you trust in your education? Do you trust in your looks? Do you trust in people, trust in man, trust in the economy, trust in politicians? Have you ever thought about trusting in the anointing? Very few of you in here even know what the anointing is. It's a funny little word. I've heard many people teach on it. They usually start off with a little sentence that sounds funny, but it's kind of sad. We don't know what the anointing is, but we know when it's not there. Well, let me tell you something. Today I'm going to teach you what the anointing is and what it is and how it works so that you can place your trust on it and in it and you can understand how it works and the purpose of it. Let me just say this to you as a pastor. Knowing who Christ is every time we come into this building, how great He is and how wonderful He is and how magnificent He is what the text of Hebrews is all about. It wasn't just written to them in those days, but it's written for our edification today. The more you know about God, the more confident you will have in God. This confidence brings you to a level of faith, and you'll never get anything done until you're in faith with God. The bigger your God, the bigger your faith, the greater and more mountains and trees you're going to lift up and problems are going to come your way. You're going to be able to deal with those problems. My job is to build God big inside of you, but also to do something else beyond that, if I could share it with you. My job is also to confirm the direction, the identity, and the authority of the church, you. So I can make a big God on the inside of you, and you can receive Him as a big God, but never understand the direction of God. Never understand your identity in God. Never understand the authority you personally have. Only the authority who God has. And then when problems and trials and pressures come your way, and things don't go the way you would like them to go, you will fall, you will fail, you will never accomplish anything. You will just say, well, I don't understand how it works. It's just not for me. This is just a God thing, I guess. I'm here on this planet just to be beat up and destroyed and defeated and live a nothing of a life, when in fact God's come to give you life and give it more abundantly, the Bible says. But if you don't understand how big your God is and can't identify with this big God and don't know the directions of this great God and don't understand the authority that God gave to you, you'll never do anything. Neither will I. It's in the understanding and the confidence of how great He is and how I relate to Him that I can look at life with all of its problems, look at life with all of its trials, look at life with all of its pressures, and say, I'm more than a conqueror. I'm an overcomer. Obviously greater that's in me than he that's in the world. No weapon formed against me shall prosper, and I shall do what God's called me to do. Without that kind of an attitude, we become a religious institution that gathers together, plays some musical instruments from the 1700s, watch a guy in ecclesiastical robes blow smoke, light candles for us, walk out never being the same. I'm not trying to be offensive to anybody. I'm trying to show you something. Today, as we go into the Word of the Lord, we're going into the Word of the Lord for a reason and a purpose, and the reason and purpose is to build Him in you and build you in Him. And that's why you should be coming into the house of God aggressively. He is going to be built in me, and I'm going to be built in Him so that I can be and do what He's called me to be and do. I can go and say what He has called me to go and say. Without an understanding of that, you will live a boring, mundane life, never be fulfilled. So today, it's your call. You can sit and listen or fall asleep. You can get a hold of this or not get a hold of this. The message that I'm going to share with you today, most people in American churches have never heard. Most people in American churches don't want to hear it. Because along with hearing it comes amazing responsibility on your part. For most Americans, we don't want to be bothered. We want to go to church, let somebody make us feel good, walk out, and that's it. Well, you might as well just go to Las Vegas. They'll make you feel good. They'll put on a show for you. But in this place, we're identifying with the one who went to the cross and the purpose of our existence on this planet. And therefore, when I say trusting in the anointing, we're learning how and what anointing is. For, like I say, most of you don't have a concept of what it is. Then we're learning how to trust in it for our business and our families, our marriages and our future, and our destiny and purpose. That's what this is all about. I want to read to you, if I may, out of Hebrews, the first chapter, verse number 9. It says, "And you have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness." Great message on that. Actually, this is, if you will, the verbal picture of a godly man. If you want to know what God wants you to be and me to be, we ought to be people that strive to love the things of God and literally hate the things that are contrary to the ways of God. Anything that doesn't fit in the plan and the will of God, I don't want any part of it. Whether I like it or I don't like it, whether it fits into society or social system, whether it fits my economy, whether it fits my thinking, is not the issue. The issue is I'm in love with what God says and I hate what God doesn't say. And that is a description in itself, just those words. What a true man and woman of God should be living their life for. Learning how to love what is righteous and literally hating what is lawlessness or iniquity or sin. Therefore, God, your God, Dan preached such a great message on that. It's amazing. Has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than your companions. A couple of words I underlined here that you might want to look at with me. Therefore, because of what I just said about your relationship, Jesus, that God, your God, has anointed you. Notice a capital Y in the word you, meaning Jesus. Has anointed you. We'll come back to the word anointed. With the oil of gladness. And I love this next word that I highlighted for you. More than your companions. In other words, he's talking about the companions being angels. And these angels have an anointing on them to do something. Not what Jesus did. Not what you're to do. But he didn't say he anointed them and didn't anoint, anointed you and didn't anoint them. He said that they're anointed, but you're anointed more. Which means they got an anointing for something. They have an anointing to carry out something, but Jesus got more of anointing than the companions of angels. It's a fascinating thought. Then it comes along and uses that word anointed. The word anointed is an interesting word, and let me define it for you. In fact, I'll read it to you and then we'll put it up on the overhead. To anoint means to place upon someone whom God selects to a position separate from others to produce godly changes or results. In other words, here's this person that God selects. Someone who is obviously special. Someone who God rubs on. That's why I left the word in there. Places whom God selects. A person whom God selects into a position. To place upon someone. God like paints on a position to that person. This position is separate from others. It's not a position that everybody else has. Separate. And it does something. It produces godly change or results. That's what I love. For an example, let me give you an illustration of that. When I was a young man, I didn't want to be a pastor. I couldn't think of anything worse than to be a pastor. To be honest with you, I wanted to be a businessman. I like business. I like making money. Anybody else like that in here besides me? Like doing business, like getting a check at the end of the week. I don't want to mess with that stuff. I always thought of pastors as a young man as people who couldn't get jobs. They were highly educated in about the things of religion and traditions and didn't want to be a pastor. And then God did something. He placed upon me an office of pastor that I didn't even know what it was. I didn't even know how it worked. And then took me for years of educating and being built up so that I could be pastor. And he separated me from others into this position so that I could produce inside of you and inside of myself godly changes and results. David Archibek, who comes every week before us, I'm using David, he doesn't even know I'm using him, because he's not in the service, but he was in the last service, but I didn't use him then because he was listening, so I'm telling you now. He sings and plays and writes music. He's anointed to do that. God wiped it on him, this anointing, upon him, singled him out. He plays and sings and writes music. If I was to play and sing and write music, everybody would be out of here. And someone comes along and says, well, you know, I decide I want to be a pastor. That's cool. But I know scripture better than you. A lot of people do. I can preach better than you. Hey, that's great. Go for it, man. But until God anoints you for it, it won't work. And you'll just sit around having a few followers, mostly your family members, who feel sorry for you. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Jeez. We're not real pastors. And God places this upon someone whom he selects for something specific, this anointing. Takes you into a position that'll separate you from the rest of the world. And you'll take in that position and you will produce something that brings godly changes and results in people. That's called anointing. It's kind of fascinating. When we look at this with Jesus, Jesus was anointed in a lot of areas to do a lot of things, but there are three areas that Jesus was anointed in that I want to talk to you about that I think are very important to all of us, that makes him, without a doubt, an outstanding and unusual figure upon this planet. The three areas of anointing is this. One, he was anointed prophet to all men. Two, he was anointed king over all men. Three, he was anointed priest over all men. Those three areas are anointing as we look. Then God says, I have anointed you beyond that which your companions have, more than your companions. In these three areas that are absolutely outstanding. The prophetic utterance, for an example, number one prophet, Jesus. The word prophet is an interesting word. We think of it as some guy that comes along and just talks about the future. And he, if you will, gets a message from God and speaks about what's going to happen and take place. But did you know when you read the writings of prophets, they were really the words of God. There were times when there was an expression that talked about the future, but there was also a time that talked about the now and here. And a prophet, listen to these words, if you don't get this, you won't get anything. A prophet is someone who speaks the oracles of God. What God says, he says. What God speaks, he speaks. That's why Jesus comes along and says, the words that I speak are not my words, but he that has sent me. He was a prophet to the people, all men. Bringing him the words and the heartbeat, the very character and very nature of God. He was anointed to be a prophet to all men. Whew. Fascinating. In fact, the Word of God confirms that in Hebrews. You're there anyway. Check it out with me in the first chapter of Hebrews. Verses 1, verses number 2. Let me read it to you. It says, God, who in various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets. Here's a spoken word that God had said. These men repeat it. Follow me? A prophet is someone that hears what God says and speaks it out of his mouth to someone else. It's not just someone in a church that stands up and says, thus saith the Lord God. That's like the craziest thing in the world. Not that that doesn't happen, and not that that's not very real, but that's not what a prophet is all about. That is the lowest level of understanding prophet. A prophet speaks what God says, and he comes along. Verse number 2, and listen to what he says. But he says, and has in these last days spoken to us by his Son. Jesus is that prophet. The second thing that I said to you that's fascinating is Jesus is a king to all men. Here's one that speaks the word of God, but here is also one, listen to this, about Jesus. We're building Jesus up on the inside of you. So listen closely. Here is Jesus, who is a king of all men. In fact, the Bible describes him as the king of all kings. King Jesus. Which really relates to earthly, temporal, physical authority. That in this earthly realm that you and I live in, where the economy of the earth goes on, the buying, selling, trading, all the people doing business and automobiles and development, all of this world, there's a king over all the world. And he is anointed, and his name is Jesus. God called him and separated him and painted him with an anointing. Put an oil on him, in other words, that said, you're the king of all men. That's your Jesus. I like what it says in Daniel, the 7th chapter, if you've got your Bible. Daniel is interpreting a dream. He has a very spiritual and prophetic dream. And he starts to interpret this dream. And the dream in Daniel in the 7th chapter is all about Jesus. And he starts to interpret this dream. And he says this in verse number 13. Let's just pop it up on the overhead. He says, I was watching in the night vision, and behold, one like the Son of Man coming with the clouds of heaven. He came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. Jesus ascending to the throne. And now verse 14 says this about the king. Then to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom. May I say that you can't have a kingdom unless you are the king. And where there's a kingdom, there has to be a king. And he says these words, a dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all people, nations, and language should serve him. Should. Don't you love the word should? Doesn't mean they will. In fact, a lot of people come along and say, you're crazy to serve God. You're crazy to be a Christian. You're crazy. That's why God's word says they should. Not everybody's going to. Serve him. Notice the capital H in the word him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion. Here's the king. So he's anointed not only with the words of the Father by being the prophet to all people, and he speaks them, but also those eternal words. He has an anointing by the Father to be the king of all men. In the spirit, in the physical realm that you and I live, there is a king, and his name is Jesus. The third anointing that I shared with you is the priestly anointing. That he is a priest to all men. And God came and selected him and pulled him out and put upon him this anointing to be the high priest to every man. Not just a priest, but a high priest. The head one to all men. If you'll go with me into Hebrews again in the third chapter, let's take a look at verse number 1 of Hebrews and listen to what it says. Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, that's you and I, by the way, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus. Here he's described as a high priest. If you'll just flip the page to the 4th chapter, in verse number 15, it says these, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses. You know why? Because he was in the fleshly body like you. He's experienced the failure. He's experienced the hurt, the pain. He's experienced what it's like to be on this planet and have to deal with the elements of this planet. Before that, he was the creator of the heavens and earth and had never experienced the flesh before. And here he is, a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses. We don't have that kind of a high priest, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. He's the captain of our salvation. He's the one that went out ahead of us, and he made it. He's coming along saying, come on, now you can make it too, as the example. A priest is the authority of the spiritual realm. So if the priest is the authority of the spiritual realm, the king is the ultimate authority of the physical realm, and then we have the word of God that is eternal, spoken by God, my goodness, what else is left? He now has the word of God, he has the physical realm under his governorship, he also has the spiritual realm, my goodness, could there have been any more? And that in itself gives us great confidence in our Jesus, who can take care of and handle any problem that we might ever come across, or that he might ever come across. But it doesn't stop there. And unfortunately, in most churches, it usually does stop there. Instead of taking it further, you see, you have to understand that if Jesus is the prophetic utterance to all men because he speaks the words of the Father, and if Jesus is the one who has great authority over the physical realm that you and I live in, who can speak to the storms of life, be still, speak to the dead, rise and be alive, open the blind eyes, Jesus handles the physical realm. He also handles the spiritual realm and is leader of the spiritual realm. What else could there possibly be? And personally, that gives me great courage to face tomorrow, knowing that my king is on the throne and he will take care of me. But the bottom line is we can't forget the fact that he's the head. Oh, and we're the body. We are in him. We're not in ourselves and he's up there. We are spiritually in him. And I don't know how that works, that I can be on this planet at this very moment, but spiritually I'm seated at him with the right hand of the Father. Spiritually I'm in him. Spiritually I am, and you are, if you're born of the Spirit of God, his body. So therefore, what he is, I cannot divorce myself from it and be separate from what he is, because I am what he is. At least I'm supposed to be. Which brings us to a place where a lot of people say, you're a heretic. And yet, I didn't write the Bible. You see, if I wrote the Bible, I'll be honest with you, I'm not spiritual enough not to collect the royalties from the Bible. I mean, it's probably the best-selling book for thousands of years, and there must be one heck of a royalty there. But I didn't. You see, all I do is read and tell you about it. Now listen closely. This is kind of an interesting question. What does the anointing mean to us? I know what it means for Jesus. And that helps me and makes me feel confident, but I have to live here every day. I have to deal with conditions every day. And how is it that this anointing will help me? It gives me, and I now have, number one, prophetic ability. I have the ability to speak the word of God. Let me make this a preface. If you are born of the Spirit, here's what you have. You have a God who is a prophet to all, king of all, and spiritual leader, priest of all. And because I and you are in Him, we now have, if we're born of the Spirit of God, the ability to speak the eternal words of God the Father. When a wife speaks the word of God over her family, she's in the position of prophetic utterance. When a mother speaks the word of God to her children, she's in the position of prophetic utterance. When I, as a pastor, stand in front of you and communicate the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, I may be in the office of a pastor, but oh, I'm here to tell you something else. I am now speaking prophetically to you about the things of the past, the things of the present, and the things of the future that God says. Are you following? In fact, you will find this in the offices of prophet that is translated to those that are of the earth, that are still here, in 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. You will find them in Ephesians, the 4th chapter, verse number 11, in those offices. But every day, not just those that are in the office, have the ability, because of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, to speak prophetically the word of God. When you speak the oracles of God, you are in that place of prophetically speaking what God says. And you've got to get that concept on the inside of you. So every day I can approach the day saying what God says. Every day I can say, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. I'm more than a conqueror. I'm an overcomer. I'm prophetically speaking over my life. That's kind of cool. But if Jesus was prophetic, and then all of a sudden He is also anointed king and priest, what about you? I can understand that I can speak the word of God that brings me to a prophetic position. Doesn't make me a prophet where I run out and print a card that says Prophet Jim. That's pretty stupid. But it does put me in that prophetic utterance of what God says I can speak now. But this part about being a king and a priest, I don't feel very kingly. I don't feel very spiritual. But what if it had nothing to do with your feelings? Have nothing to do with your own personal intellectual ability. That has to do because one selected you and painted this anointing on you in order to change, bring godly change and results, not only to the world around you, but to your own life. And the one who has all of the physical power and authority, Jesus, King, also the spiritual realm authority, gives to you kingship and priesthood, where you now can control the world around you physically with authority of God. And you now can control spiritually the world around you, in your homes, in your families, on your job, wherever it is. What would it be like if you were a rich person? One of the richest people on the planet, you know what? Can you imagine what that would be like? Being able to buy anything you wanted, live any kind of a life you wanted to, eat all the caviar and shrimp every one. You'd have chefs at every place and homes at every place. And you decided, listen, I've got all this money and I've got all this power and I've got all this fortune and I've got all this fame and I've got everything I could possibly need. And I don't know what to do with it. So I think I'll go live in a cave by myself for the rest of my life and I'll eat the worms that crawl through the ground. I'll eat the bugs that crawl on the ground, and I'll only eat those things that I can find, and I will live in poverty, and I will let my teeth rot, and I will let my body go in bad health, and I will live miserably for the rest of my life, when in fact we have the ability to be prophetic kings and priests to the world that we live in. How sad of a life would that be? Yet that's the way most of the church approaches every day. Eating of the worms of the earth instead of being rulers over the physical and spiritual life. In Revelation, there's this interesting verse. I want to take you there in the first chapter. Verse starts right off. Verse number 5. Talking about you. Can you imagine this, being a king and a priest? And until you see your identity in him as that, you will never be what God wants you to be. And I personally, and so do you, have the authority that God gave me to be kings and priests upon this planet. In Revelation, the first chapter, verse number 5, it makes this statement that is so fascinating. It says, "And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth." See, some people stop right there and say, see, he's a ruler over, you know, the king of England, the king of Denmark, the, you know, the king of Spain. That's what he's talking about in this verse. Not so. I'll prove it to you. Because he makes a statement, rule over the kings of the earth, and then he describes who the kings of the earth are. To him, speaking of Jesus, capital H, who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Jesus' act from him. Verse 6. And has made us kings and priests to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion, speaking of Jesus, forever and ever. Most people don't know that. You don't have to be beat up. You don't have to be put down. You don't have to look at yourself in the mirror and think you're nobody and a nothing. You don't have to live a mundane, boring life. You don't have to just get by. You don't have to just, you know, crawl in the cave and eat worms. But yet you are in him, and he is prophetic King of kings and Lord of lords, and he is the spiritual leader of all men. And you're in him. And that same anointing that's on him is on you. Now, I have to admit, he was anointed by the Spirit with full measure, the Bible tells us. Full measure means Jesus got it all. And if he says full measure, there must be a lesser measure. I really believe that when all of us get together in unity and bring our giftings and our love and our heart and our faith together, that you will see the power of God starting to be released. And that's why the devil works so hard to divide and conquer, because a house divided against itself cannot stand, and that's why we're so divided. And we refuse to live that kind of a life here at the Rock Church World Outreach Center. That's why every week I'm on my knees praying for other churches. Because there's going to be a day when we're all going to bring whatever measure we have together collectively and take authority. Did you know what the word church really translates to? It really means ruling and reigning organization on the planet. It does not mean something that just gets by and the government should leave it alone. It is the governing organization of the planet ought to be the church. as we all gather together. Why? Because in every one of us, we are anointed to speak the words of God, anointed to control the physical realm, and anointed to control the spiritual realm. Tell the devil to go to hell. Most people don't understand that. Most people don't want to believe that. And the reason for that, because it comes back to a responsibility to you. Now let's talk just for a moment. Last verse. Let me just pop it up in conjunction with the terminology that I gave you about anointing. In 1 Peter, the second chapter, verse number 2, Peter writes to the church that's scattered and pressured. But you are a chosen generation. Remember the word chosen generation? God selected. Wasn't that? Go back if you can. Just go back to the interpretation or the anoint. To anoint is to place someone whom God selects. You are the ones that are selected. He called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. He's put His blood in the place to bring you to a place of being born of the Spirit of God so that you can have authority in this world, in every realm. Go back to the verse again. But you are a chosen generation. You see the word royal and word priesthood? It means kingly priests. Well, not losers. Not people that just get by. Not beggars and squalors, people that can't make it, people that are trodden upon and live as if they're trodden upon. Yeah, you've been trodden upon, but you don't have to live that way. A royal priesthood. You see the word holy? It means separate. Go back to that word again, anoint once again. To place upon someone whom God selects, chosen, into a position separate from others. Holy nation. Not just by ourselves, but all of us together. You know what that means? That means that those that are born of the Spirit of God, our Baptist brothers, our Lutheran brothers, Methodist brothers, Episcopalian brothers, our Catholic brothers and sisters, our Adventist brothers and sisters, those that are born of the Spirit of God, Foursquare, Assemblies, Calvary, Chapels, Harvest, wherever it is, a holy nation, separate from others, to do something to produce godly change and results. Go back to the verse again. And it says this, a special people that you may proclaim the praises of Him. How do we proclaim it? Not just with our mouth prophetically, but with our lives. Who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Now with what you learned today, those great responsibility, you can live in the caves eating the bugs and worms if you want, or you can rise up in the ability of Christ who paid the price for you to be that chosen generation. Royal priesthood. What that means is you're going to have to get out of who you used to be and get into who you are. What that means is you can no longer decide to live like you've been living, but you're going to live different than what you were, because now you see not only how great God is, but you now see your identity in Him. And have confidence in the direction that He gives you. And now understand the results that He's asking you to bring. That'll change the physical world into a spiritual world. And that's why we're here on this planet. So not only do you know how great He is today, and He is, but I also have direction, identity, and authority that causes me to be what God have me to be. If God spoke to you today, you got to give God the great big praise, not me. Come on, you can do better than that, and you know it. Thank you, Jesus.
We want to thank you for listening to Pastor Jim Cobray. If you've enjoyed this message and would like to know more about The Rock Church and other resources, please log on to www.rockchurch.com.